listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 164. Kayla Lortz here with the one, the only, the aggressively giving me hand gestures to tell me to talk, John Brownstone.
You're being unusually sassy today.
And this is a problem because... This week...
Do your thing.
I'm trying. This week, we're talking about how repressing your DS identity can be hazardous to you and or your relationship. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM. All links are in the show notes. A big shout out to all of our kinky patrons on Patreon, including our newest peeps. We see you, we love you, and thank you. If you'd like to access more content and get basically more access to us and this thing we're doing, you can become one of our kinky patrons for as little as $1 a month. All of your support helps us do more, make more podcasts, make more weapons of mass destruction, write more blog posts, more. And we appreciate all of the support. I'm trying so hard. So this week's topic is straight from one of our kinky patrons on Patreon. Thank you, Rax Leanne, for suggesting it. I want to make a confession. Okay. Because of the way I see her name in Patreon and in other places, I've been in my head saying Raxel Ann. And it was only when a certain John Brownstone... was like, no, that's Raxel Ann. Is it? I've been reading it as Raxel Ann. You were still Raxel Ann in my head. Whichever you'd prefer, we'll call you that. One of the perks of...
I was just going by the way it was...
Right, you were...
presented on...
on another space, I know. Yeah. So was I. But yours made more sense. Mine didn't make any sense.
Gotcha.
Raxel Ann made sense. So that was my... Clearly only I thought it was funny. That's okay, though. So one of the perks of being one of our kinky patrons at the $5 and up level is you get to suggest a topic episode and that we will actually seriously consider. We have had to say that we did not feel qualified on one, but we will say we're not qualified for that because there are some topics that are important and need to be talked about. We are probably not the ones to do it. So this was an abbreviated sort of, this is what Raxleyan said, abbreviated. She said, I took a hiatus from DS and BDSM. I wanted to focus on the foundation of our relationship without the difficulties that can arise through the learning process. So I voluntarily placed that part of myself on the back burner. Now, however, I realized that I was leaving out a big part of who I am. And she asked, can you discuss how not honoring our kinky selves can be hazardous? In my case, it almost cost me a great relationship because I became resentful. Which totally makes sense to me.
It does.
If you, from a submissive perspective, because if I'm remembering correctly, Rax, I almost called you Rax Leanne again. Okay. Rax. I'm just going to say Rax. I can't fuck that
there
up.
You go.
Okay. If I am know that I am submissive, and I believe you are too, if I know that I'm submissive, and I that's how I show how I care about somebody, for me personally, some of the things I do, I don't really even control. I just do them. But I don't get the same feedback that I would get in a DS relationship. Quite frankly, I can't speak to this as much as you can. So for once, John Brownstone only get to do more talking. But I can...
Maybe.
I can talk about it from the perspective of not understanding who you are or not being true to who you are and how it can go awry. So... before we've talked about this many times, before I even understood what submission was, before any of that, I behaved in certain submissive ways with certain people, definitely in relationships with partners, towards my boss. Like I'm a service sub. I want to help. I want to do things for the atta girl. You know, I didn't even have the concept of good girl, but it was like, good job. Like I want that. And so I do also need gratitude to be shown for what I do, not all the time, you know, but I need to feel appreciated as well. And the problem with being submissive and behaving in a submissive way without understanding who I was and in a situation where it was not a negotiated, agreed to thing, people just went, oh, look, there's a person willing to do all this work. We'll definitely take advantage of that. I became very resentful, and it was not with any understanding of a DS concept. So from a submissive perspective, if certain things are things I'm going to do because that's in my nature to do it, whether I use the title submissive or not, if I don't get the feedback that I crave as just a human being for those things, for that service, that I could absolutely understand the resentful part. Mm-hmm. But since I can't actually talk to the actively, like we talked about this last week in the last episode, when I figured out who I was, I felt so damn good. I was like, yes, there's a name for this. I am like, this is legitimate. Yeah. So I, from that moment on, was not repressing nothing. Okay. But I know that that's not the same for a lot of people. And there are a lot of reasons to decide maybe I should not be doing this. Maybe this needs to take a backseat. Maybe I don't need to go down that path right now. And this, I don't think anybody can tell you if that's your reason is good or bad or you should do something different. But I do think it's important to think about what that means when you repress a part of yourself that is a natural part of who you are. It's a way you express love or care or affection. It's a way that you relate to somebody else in a relationship. Those things are important. And whether you give them names or titles or protocols or, you know, a lot of boundaries and official rules or not, being able to be yourself in a relationship is completely important. Absolutely important. So I'm going to let you started kind of talking about this at the end of last episode because of the questions we got.
Correct.
But I want you to talk about it from like the point where you kind of went, ha, here, guess what? And then when you felt you did have to repress who you are and how that went for you.
Well, let me give just, and we've talked about this in back episodes, but I'm just going to give you like a quick Reader's Digest. When I was in my early 20s, I was in a relationship and my kinky side kind of started to peek out at that point. The relationship at that time failed. It failed miserably. And because of it, I carried a lot of guilt. You know, the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, yeah.
And in part, it was because I felt that, well, this is not normal. This is not how one should be.
Did you think that that had been a part of the relationship not ending?
At that time, yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I did. Not realizing that there were other things at that time.
Yeah.
But so I, you know, had that guilt on my shoulders and I was like, well, you know, I can't be this way. And just kind of buried that part of me. Now, for a long time, I did not get into a serious relationship. I dated, but nothing serious. About 94.
Gosh, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. I got into a serious relationship, very vanilla relationship, but that's how at that time I thought it
was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. So carried on, and at the invent of the internet, as we kind of know it now, I came across some things, kink-related, BDSM-related.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure once more people got access to the internet, the kinksters all went, oh, yes, right. I'm here for this.
Right, yeah. And I rediscovered it again.
And now at that point, now you had names for things and you kind of maybe started getting a better understanding of what
Well,
it was.
Started getting a little better understanding and it made me realize, oh, I'm
a freak, but I'm not a freak by myself.
No, and that's pretty much how it hit me. because I realized, oh, there are other people that like these things. Mm-hmm. Now, again, at that time, I really didn't go into it in much way, but it started a niggle in the back of my head. And it just kind of stayed there and kept picking, poking, mm-hmm. nudging. And it came to a point that I could not really ignore it anymore.
Was it something that you were constantly thinking about in everyday parts of your life? Or was it when you felt sexual desire that it sort of reared its head and you thought
it was a combination of both. Wasn't a constant thought.
Just walking around going, oh my God, no, that,
yeah,
that
no,
might be something
but
else.
I mean, there would be certain things that would trigger it, you know, and I came across certain, you know, things online that would trigger. And,
sure.
And at that point, I was kind of, knowing it was out there, it was hard to stay away and not look.
Right. It's a little bit like going, you know, there's this, I can eat this thing over here and it tastes really good. I think I would like to keep eating it and eating it.
And it did. It kept kind of drawing mm-hmm. me back. Mm-hmm.
Did you get a sense at that point that you were feeling that way because even though you weren't fully exploring it yet, you hadn't gone deep into it yet. Was it a comforting feeling like, oh, I make some sense to me now?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, back in the beginning, I thought, you know, no, this can't be right. How could you like to do these things? Mm-hmm. You know, and, oh, God, there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. So there came a point where I could not really, where I didn't want to hide those feelings anymore.
And at this point, were you still single? Were you in a relationship?
I was in a relationship. I was married.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
This is where I know this story, y'all. This is where the story gets good / bad.
So I approached my partner and said, look, I'm kind of interested in this. This has some appeal to me. What do you think about this? And was hit with a lot of negativity.
I think, without going into details because mm-hmm. privacy and all that, talk about the negativity. I think some people can certainly relate to some of it.
Well,
it wasn't just a pushback of, no, I'm not interested, which is ideal. If your partner is like, not for me, you don't like it, but at least, you know, it's not the worst thing you've ever heard either.
Was told that it was disgusting. Mm-hmm. And perverted and unnatural.
Mm-hmm. I believe somebody was going to pray for you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was going to be lots of prayer.
And again, I decided, you know, okay, well, this isn't...
Take me to that moment, though, when this person that you're in this relationship with, this is the person you would ideally like to explore this with, mm-hmm. and that's the reaction. Did you have a moment where you went back to those old feelings of there's something wrong with me? Or were you shocked by the reaction? Like
I was not totally shocked by the reaction. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I did kind of go back to those feelings of guilt again.
Sort of like the bad tape.
Bad tape,
old times,
yeah. Yeah. And I decided, well, This needs to just be pushed back in the corner.
Don't think about it.
Don't think about it. It's not meant for me. It just isn't. So I did.
I feel like we're in a movie. We're in Frozen. You put some gloves over your dominant hand. Don't feel. Repress.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And, I can honestly say, yeah, that worked out really well for me.
Repression never. I don't know a lot just because I go to a therapist. God knows, I barely know about me. But one of the things my therapist tells me every time I start talking about, like I'm just gonna just push it down. He's like, repression's coming out some way or another. Mm-hmm. And 90% of the time, maybe 100% of the time, it's not coming out in a good way. It's not coming out in a way that you're going to feel good about or you can control or that's going to be healthy. And I think I firmly believe that that is no different in our identities and how we relate in relationships and with other people.
Right. So, yeah, I hid it away. And what ended up happening, and I did not realize it right away, I found myself slipping into depression.
That breaks my heart. Mm. I know. I was way too young for you then. That would have been gross, quite frankly. I was way too young. I don't think, if I recall the timing, and you don't have to say the timing, but if I recall the timing, I don't think I had graduated high school yet. That would have been gross. But it still makes my baby girl's sickness of heart very, very sad and angry, but that's a different conversation.
And it was a very difficult time because I started hiding myself away from people.
Was it everybody or just in that relationship?
Everybody.
Did you worry that they would, other people beyond your former partner, would think there was something wrong with you, would find out, would judge you? Or was it just a thing you did? You didn't really have conscious thought of it?
Didn't really consciously think about it. But I did. I found myself withdrawing more from people. I didn't really have a name for it at that time. But yeah, it was definitely depression that I had slipped into.
Mm-hmm. How did that depression, now that you can look back on it and understand what was happening, how did that affect all parts of your life? There's your relationship, there's work, there's other than just withdrawing, because withdrawing is never just a one-sided, oh, I just backed away. I mean, there are ripple effects to all of that.
Work, it didn't affect too much. I mean, I've always had a work ethic that, I go out and do my job, and I put on my game face, as I called it.
Right. Did it, but I have known you for a while now, and I remember right before you left that job, was it harder to get through? And I can only speak from my own experience with depression, but I know that there are times when I'm both depressed and anxious, it happens with both, that I get very short with people. I just don't have patience, and people really annoy the fuck out of me. And I know where you used to work, and I know how you felt on a good day. So, right.
It did affect that.
Okay.
Yeah, it did.
I kind of thought so, but I just wanted to put it out there. But in your relationship.
In the relationship, it definitely put a strain. Mm-hmm. And what I ended up doing, this, not that it was, and I look back on this too and know that it wasn't the right thing to do, I started sneaking online.
Sure, you had a part of yourself that needed to be expressed. You were going to express it in some way. So then I'm curious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing you the way I do and your sense of ethics and what's right and wrong, once you started sneaking to kind of get that information and get that fix, did that compound the guilt and the bad feelings and the depression more? Or was it the one bright spot in your day?
It was a double-edged sword. Okay, because yes, I looked forward to getting that fix of it, so to speak. But at the same time, it made me feel even more guilty.
Right.
Because I was hiding a dirty little secret.
Right. And a secret, or now a secret at this point, but something that you had been made to feel bad about. First, you felt bad about it. And then you had somebody that was supposed to be your partner make you feel bad about it. And so it's just like a double layer of bad feelings about something that you didn't have enough understanding of
to begin with. Right. Mm-hmm. So it was a tough time. It was a very rocky time, and this went on probably, a couple of years, several years, like that.
Well, I know that when you and I first met, you were coming out of another partnership the Down Low Online partnership.
Yeah.
You were still married.
Mm-hmm.
And we developed our relationship. And my concern was, I kind of believed the myth that if I ever, quote, made you leave a relationship, that you would then blame me for resentful feelings later. Right. And that does happen, but that's, it's not that it's not a myth that that can happen. It's a myth that it's that person's fault. Any feelings and choices mm-hmm. an individual makes are their own, quite frankly. But, and so you actually did not leave that relationship.
I did not leave right away. You know, another thing I'm not proud of. Yes, I cheated.
You know, it's funny. I used to have very black and white feelings about cheating. Mm-hmm. I still kind of do, but not from a moral standpoint. But I also have sort of eased up on my own personal feelings about it because really, really good people I know were involved in cheating relationships, and not just you. but it all stemmed from a very common reason. They could not be themselves in the relationship they were in. Their partners rejected it, refused it, tried to make them be somebody they were not. Mm-hmm. And so that initial relationship was unhealthy on other levels. And right. so a person, you know, eventually for most of us, who we are is going to come out. We have to find a way to express that. It's mm-hmm. it's too, you know, closed off and sort of a suffocating kind of feeling otherwise. Right. And the people that I have known that I, from my own ethical standard, I go, that's a decent human being. We are all flawed. None of us are perfect.
Right.
Those escapades of cheating were about repressing who they were and finding an outlet and sneaking around to be who mm-hmm. they are. And so if I were to have, but if I were to have a moral judgment on it, it was more about stop being scared of making that massive leap in your life to go be who the fuck you are.
Right.
And that's where I am a little judgy, so I have to be careful mm-hmm. about that. But that your story is not uncommon.
Yeah.
It is not uncommon at all.
But what happened, that was kind of the catalyst for me, because regardless of how that relationship came about, it showed me that I can have those things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can have those things that and fulfill that part of me that I was repressing. So, yeah, while I had not taken the actual leap by the time I met you mm-hmm. to leave, the groundwork was set.
Yeah, you were, of all the emotions and the experiences that we've gone through together, just as you've seen me grow over mm-hmm. time as a human being in general, but as a submissive more generally, I have watched you grow as a dominant. But when I met you, you had certain parts of who you are were showing. It was not anything. I've not discovered that. The quiet, calm confidence, the patience, the mm-hmm. the parts of you that make you, for me, a very good dominant were already there. The inner turmoil, you did a really good job of sort of keeping to yourself or talking about the few times we did talk about it in very pragmatic ways. It was not mm-hmm. there, you know, you were not chaotic as I would expect for somebody who had this other life that was not a life you wanted, but you hadn't seen your way out of yet.
Right.
And you were sort of living this double life where you could be the dominant you wanted to be, but always in a relationship that had no future. They never went anywhere. They were good while they happened, and then they ended
mm-hmm.
because there was no point where you were like, oh, this is something I can let this go now because I can go do this over here. I can go be who I am.
Yes.
But you did make that decision, and
I
did apply a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
I never wanted you to feel guilty. I never wanted you to feel obligated. But I also knew that I could not be a dirty little secret.
Right.
And I was thinking about two kids to raise. I was thinking mm-hmm. about my own future. And I went, I want to be with somebody who can be with me, who I can build something with.
Right.
And I want a dominant partner. That's what I want. And so maybe it was a stars aligning kind of thing, because you wanted that. You wanted to be that. You just,
yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you couldn't see a path forward
for
that. And so I kind of went, well, we don't have to find this damn path because yeah. I love you. I'm in love with you. I am not moving down to this part of the state to be a dirty little secret. Not picking my children up and doing that.
And I didn't expect you to. That
right.
was not.
But we wanted something together. We could see a future together.
Yes.
And once, was that sort of the point though? Once you could see a glimmer of hope and it wasn't, the light at the end of the tunnel was not an oncoming train. It was actual hope. It was something different. Was
kind
that
of,
for
yes.
you the moment?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you know before we had our, because our conversation, I think we might have talked about it a little bit in our origin story. We did that episode ages ago.
Yeah.
We might have talked about it there. I know we've talked about it before. But did I, was it one of the, I have this habit of saying what it is really actually obvious, but it sounds like new information to me. And you have this habit of going, yes, I know, I've been thinking about that, but thanks for bringing it up. So my question to you is, before I kind of said, we have to do something different than what we have right now.
Yeah.
Were you already working your way to that?
Oh, yes.
Had you been even before you met me? I mean, it's a step-by-step slow process, but...
Oh, yeah. Because after that little relationship on the side ended, mm-hmm. That was what got the gears turning.
Gotcha.
All right. To the point that, yeah, this is obtainable, and mm-hmm. and I felt like who I'm meant to be.
Right. And I think that's a powerful feeling. However you get to that feeling, I think that's a mm-hmm. very powerful feeling. The moment you go, holy shit, yeah, I make sense now.
Right.
This is right. It's usually society or another person in our life or the way we were raised or some little voice that still like sits in our head, if it's not an outward mm-hmm. voice like a partner,
yeah.
that makes us question ourselves. That because we have no examples of this, or we didn't know this was possible, yeah. or certain actions we're taking, we've been taught societally and culturally, are somehow wrong, that we begin to doubt ourselves. But quite
sure.
frankly, while you can get things wrong, things feel right, but maybe you probably shouldn't do them, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really rare. I think it's much more common that the moment you have that feeling of, oh my God, this feels so right. Oh my God, yes, yeah. this is me. That's a legitimate, valid, correct feeling. Will you grow and morph and change and
right.
learn? And yes, 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 yes. Of course you yeah. will. But that feeling of rightness is right. It's unfamiliar.
And it's strong.
Yes.
It's very strong. Once you, the only way to explain it is once you have that feeling, it's like there's no doubt in your mind.
Right. But bad tapes and little voices and mean people in our lives and in our heads
mm-hmm.
can make you doubt yourself.
Yeah.
Can make you question all of
yeah.
that. And if I, you know, if I had a wish for the world, it would be that once you have that feeling of this is who I am,
mm-hmm.
in whatever context it means right at this moment, that we wouldn't doubt it and we'd go, yeah, this is who the fuck I am. Let's get
right.
this shit going.
Because mm-hmm.
I've got to be who I am. Most good things have happened for me as an individual, for us in a relationship, and for you, I've watched it for you, when we embraced who we really are, messy,
yeah.
fucked up, confused, plenty to learn. Absolutely, yes.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right, but to just say, yeah. this is who I am, I don't know what that means right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that's going to take me. I don't know what that means for existing relationships, the future. God, let's maybe, you know, are we ready to dissect the past through this lens? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's the right thing. This is legitimate. And that
mm-hmm.
I think that's the hardest part at first. Because that first time, you know, in before this relationship where this happened, this particular episode of repression happened for you, you didn't even have language for it. You didn't understand what it was.
No.
You just knew you liked it. So it's I could see where, especially at the age you're at, because you were fairly young, it's easier to go, oh, this is weird, I don't know. And you didn't have access to the information.
No,
you didn't even know where to go look.
There was no access to the information. You know, this was all prior to even the first cell phones.
Right.
Okay. So
yeah, this was the 80s, right?
Yeah,
am I correct?
Very early
80s. I was very young.
Yeah, there was no access. The internet hadn't really been, you know, on a...
No, and it's not...
Computers had just
barely... You had to know where to go look for that stuff. You had to, like, have somebody take you by the hand and go, let me explain what this BDSM thing is to
exactly.
you. And if you didn't
exactly.
have that, you kind of didn't know.
Right.
So that first time makes total sense to me. At that age mm-hmm. when, God, and we're all kind of dumb in our 20s. If you are in your 20s, I love you. Once you get to your 30s and 40s, you'll realize how dumb your 20s were. But... Later on, now when you came to your partner and said, here's this thing I want to try, you had some information, you had some understanding about it, and then to have it rejected.
Yeah.
I mean, it also, though, makes sense, bad tapes being what they are, that you would go, oh, apparently I can't have this. But the proof is in the pudding. The proof is you couldn't stop yourself.
No.
You found ways to get what you needed, which helped. But I would imagine it's a little bit, I don't want to be cavalier about drug use and addiction, but my understanding is that you can't ever just have a little bit.
That urge, yeah.
And it's not a negative. I don't want to like make the comparison in a negative way, but you know, when you repress, it's coming out in some way.
Right.
It's coming out in some way. And the decision is, we see the decisions in retrospect. We can look back and go, oh, that was the point. I should have done this. That was a...
And the thing for me... Once I made the decision to take that step and I took the step, the depression I had been feeling for all that time, mm-hmm. gone.
Did it feel strange to sort of have that lifted?
It did. Mm-hmm. And it took me a little bit to even correlate the two.
Yeah, that would make sense. That makes sense.
Okay. But then once I was at that point, you know, able to freely attend munches and socials, it clicked.
And let's be clear, you were able to do those things, but you guarded your privacy. You were not out to the whole world.
No.
That's not the same as being repressed.
Correct.
That is, I don't have to tell everybody about this, but I can't admit to myself... This is who I am, and I can embrace whatever that might mean in the circumstances I'm in. But I don't have to sneak around. I just don't advertise what I'm doing.
Correct.
You know, it's between me and the people that it's meant to be
between.
Right. So I'm curious. I cannot mm-hmm. imagine this, but life happens. Who knows? So knowing what you know now, having been what you've been through, if at any point I came to you... And said, I can't. I can be with you. I can't do this DS thing anymore.
Okay.
I can't imagine saying that, quite frankly, because before I even understood what it was, I was behaving in a submissive manner. So I just can't imagine it. And I don't mean the protocols or the rules, just mm-hmm. this idea that you're dominant, I'm submissive, can't do it. Let's act like it doesn't. I need it to go away. I need it to be invisible. It needs to not be a part of my life.
Okay.
Now, you can give that really sweet answer about how you love me and you'll always love me and that's what yeah. Okay. But if I say to you, no, there is no dominance. There is no submission. No.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a mutual decision. It's like a demand I'm placing on you. Can you imagine pushing that down? Especially if I was like, and no, you need to put those other little people on the side. Gone. I can't imagine doing that. But can you imagine going...
At this point now, mm-hmm. after how my life has changed and the things that I do,
mm-hmm.
you ready for the answer?
I want the answer to be a certain thing. I hope I'm right.
No.
Thank God. Okay. So that'll be the signal that I've been kidnapped.
Okay? Right. That you've been replaced with a pod
something,
person.
Something.
Yes.
That I am in danger.
I could not. I could not even conceive of trying to to hide that part of me anymore.
Right. I mean,
and you know, I had for a while, and it makes perfect sense to me now because I have heard people in the lifestyle, whether submissive or whether dominant, say that they would rather be single than, you know, pardon the lack of the term, but they would rather be single than date vanilla.
I felt that way before I had even really had some real DS relationships.
Yeah. And it makes total sense because you're, you know, whether you're dating for just for the sake of dating to have fun or to build a relationship, by suppressing that part of yourself to someone, you're doing it, it's, you're not truly building a trustful relationship.
No, and I mean, we have some friends that they date between kinky and vanilla, and every time they date a new person who's not kinky, doesn't understand kink, they go through this process of, oh gosh, when do I explain this? Do I explain this? And do I have to take them by the hand and lead them? Like, and for some people that works. Some people are great at that. That's great for their personality. But one of our dear friends, every time I'm like, why are they, I'm sure they're a lovely human being. Mm-hmm. Why are you putting yourself through this? This gives you angst every time, every time. And I had led in my first, in my previous marriage. I was not going to do it again. I had been the one to lead him through sexual experiences, and that, knowing how I am as a submissive, that was doomed to failure. And I am not interested in or wired to lead somebody into DS. Other people are. We know there are plenty of submissives who lead their partners and go, here, let me show you, let me like put this in your lap and go, here are the resources. And, Can you be my dominant? It works. I've even
known some people, again, both sides of the slash, they're like the vanilla whisperers.
They find the vanillas who, once they understand what this is about, those people are like, you know.
Right.
I could be tempted. Yeah, those kinksters are amazing. I'm just not wired that way.
No.
Especially after, and I think truly, because of the relationship I had before, where I was the one leading through these completely different experiences, totally vanilla experiences, and it left such a bad taste in my mouth. Mm-hmm. So for me, no. Now, I'd like to think if I loved somebody just that deeply and I was that committed to the relationship, like a lot of people are, we get messages from people in committed relationships that are transitioning from vanilla to kink, and it's the submissive who's like bringing along their partner to see if dominance is a thing for them. You know, I'd like to think in a committed enough relationship, sure, I would. Yeah. Because there's already that bond. Right. But if I don't have the bond with you and I've got to meet you like for the first time, oh, please don't make me do that kind of work. Oh, no. Yeah. Because that would be a moment. Now, this is a controversial term, topping from the bottom. Mm. We have talked about that in past episodes as well. That would be a time I know how I am. They wouldn't even know I was topping from the bottom. I'd be getting all the things I want. But then I would then be unfulfilled because part of what I want are the limits you place on me. So, you know, there's no perfect solution. But yes, no, that is the signal. If I demand that we just are not DS and I want no reminders of it anywhere, that's the signal I've been kidnapped.
Who are you and what are you doing, my baby girl?
Exactly. That's the signal. So in general, there is no way for us to generalize what you should do if you find yourself in this situation. I do think it's food for thought. I do think that it is better to be who we are and go through not dangerous situations. That's never...
No.
And you know, things that could bring us harm. That's not what I'm advocating. But if you are in a sort of a generic situation where it's a dissatisfying relationship, or you're not quite happy with where you're at, and the only reason you're not moving forward is because you're afraid of what the consequences of that choice will be, I get it. You know, splitting from my husband ended up, I can say in 2019, being the absolute best thing I've ever done in my whole fucking life. But there was a year of hell to go through.
And it's not an easy thing to do.
No.
You know, breaking off any relationship.
Right, or just making changes. I mean, sometimes you're going to be so excited that you've discovered this part of yourself and you're ready to embrace it. And people who genuinely care about you but do not understand are going to give pushback, or they're going to be judgmental, and it's going to hurt and it's going to suck. And it's very easy. I think it's probably very common for our initial reaction to be, oh, then I shouldn't do this because look at all these negative reactions I'm getting.
What Rax did in and of itself totally is not a terrible thing.
The logic of it makes sense
because DS is not a fix. It's not a cure for relationships. DS is complicated enough in and of itself if you have a good, solid relationship.
Yeah.
So if that's a direction you want to go, if things aren't quite right, sometimes you need to take a step back to take a step forward.
And in that case, in Rax's case in particular, and we had somebody in the live stream who commented that they kind of have to hide their DS self too because of life circumstances. Mm-hmm. There is a difference between stepping back from the protocols, the outward exchange of what DS means to you, versus the pretending this is not who I am at all. Because for some people, you're going to figure out, I'm submissive, I'm dominant, I'm switch, I'm this, I'm that, and have no outlet to experience it.
Right.
You're not going to have a partner, or you're not going to have a partner who's interested, or you're not going to be quite ready to step forward into the physical activities that might be associated with however you identify. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between the actions you take and the things you perform for yourself or another person versus the, this is who I am. I can't do all the things I associate with this identity, but I am submissive. I am dominant. I am not ashamed of it. I am not going to pretend I'm not. I'm going to explore. I'm going to figure out what that means for me. There are a lot of things you can do to be who you are that do not necessarily require the protocols and the rituals and the outward trappings of DS.
Right.
Like, in a perfect world, I want everybody to experience the DS that they want to experience to the fullest. Sometimes relationships end in order to have that. Sometimes relationships change. They morph. They become something different. Sometimes we go in completely different directions in our life. And you know what? Back to my earlier point, it's hard. Making massive life changes, whether you end a relationship or you take a relationship in a different way, or you try and figure out who the fuck you are and how that means for the relationship you're currently in.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are hard.
They are.
And they bring chaos. They bring new ways of doing things that you will question yourself and your own judgment. And what stops a lot of people in every life decision they make, that's going to be hard, that's going to be big, is that in between time. Because it's hard to believe that you can go through a really difficult period in your life and come out better for it. Sometimes it's a lot easier for people to go, you know, I'm going to stick with the status quo because at least I know how shitty the status quo is. And that was, I'm grateful I met you when I did, because in the beginning, when you went to that partner and said, here's this thing, you went immediately to the mindset of, I'm going to keep the status quo. I'm not going to rock this boat. But by the time I got to you, I was like, baby, we're rocking a boat. I'm going to capsize this bitch, okay? Because we're going to do something different. And part of it, I came to it for all my insecurities about relationships and love and, you know, the heartbreak I'd gone through. I had tons of insecurities about that. That made me scared. But by the time I met you, I had spent a year and like 14, 16 months going through the hell of splitting a marriage, dealing with that happened there, figuring out how to be a single mom, figuring out how to pay the bills. I was paying the bills on my own before, but really it was on my own. Like all the hell of another part of my life, of a massive change. And I had the confidence at that moment of somebody who's just gone through a massive upheaval, survived to tell the story, and was feeling fearless. Like, oh, we've done this. I can do that. You can do that. I will get you through this. Yes, this is gonna suck, but we'll get through it together, because I had gotten through it.
Yeah.
And that does help. You know, I still am a scaredy cat about a lot of things, and I wait too long to decide on a lot of things. Thank you, anxiety. But because I have made big leaps, gone through the hell, gone through the shit, and then seen how good it can be, simply because what I was doing was being true to myself. Like, I am going to preach the gospel on that, about being who you are. Yeah, it's going to be hard. And for some people, because of the society we live in, it's dangerous to be who you are with the people that you're around. That is a very real consideration, and I do not make light of that. I understand I am cisgender and white and mostly hetero. I got a lot of fucking privilege. I get that. But when you have the opportunities, when those moments present themselves to you to be fully who you are, submissive, dominant, I don't, however you identify in any spectrum, it's not automatically easy. Nothing is easy.
No.
It's not automatically going to all work out the way we'd like it to. But ultimately,
it can be a long, hard journey.
But it's worth it.
Yeah.
In the end, and it's never the end until you're dead, quite frankly, eventually it gets to this point where it's worth it. What I have learned is, for all the things I was scared of and all the things I wasn't sure of and we had to go through and go through hard times, we got to where this is a good, we are good together. This is a good relationship. We get to be who we are, and it's an absolute privilege. Absolute privilege. It doesn't make me completely not scared of other changes. Like that hasn't gone away. It just, when I'm thinking clearly and I'm not letting anxiety take over my brain, I am reminded that we can survive big changes. We can figure this out. It won't be perfect. It won't be whatever the advice out there is to how to handle this or that, but we'll muddle through. And that's all you can do.
I've come to a point in my life where I understand that change, you know, change is scary.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Change can be a frightening thing. And many times it can be a bad thing. But you know what? There's a good percentage of that time when change is not necessarily a bad thing. It can be good.
Well, and here's, I have learned, I've matured enough to not apply the philosophy I believe to everybody because it's obnoxious when you apply it to everybody. So we've all heard somebody, like something tragic happens in our life and some outsider, some third party comes up to you and goes, well, everything happens for a reason. That's some shit. You don't say that to another human being. Okay. You do not say that to another human being. But I do have that philosophy for myself. I learned. It took me until I was in my 20s to not say that shit to other people. Because sometimes it wasn't that this bad thing happened so I could go do something good. It's that this bad thing happened and I had to figure out how I was going to survive it. I had to figure out what to do next. And every time I've been true to myself, even if it was for like just 5 seconds and went, this is who I am. I'm going to go in that direction. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. I'm terrified. My knees are knocking, but I'm going to go in that direction. Every time it ended up okay. Eventually. Yeah. Once we got there.
And that actually had become my mantra for quite a while. To thine own self be true.
Yeah. I think it sounds cliche. It sounds stereotyped, but it is when you feel free and comfortable to be who you are. Maybe you cannot express it outwardly yet for different reasons, for totally legitimate reasons. But you know who you are inside.
Right.
I have found that the more I've gotten to know who I am on a lot of levels, I don't need to broadcast it. I broadcast it because I can't stop talking. Y'all have figured this out. And I have learned that it creates connection. It helps other people not feel alone. Sure. And that is very important to me, that other people don't feel
alone. That's a very
alone.
Big thing. I mean, back in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, you did not have Amazon. Okay, so you couldn't just go and find
a book.
A book, you know.
There were no blogs.
Screw the roses, give me the thorns. You know, the big book of topping or submission.
No.
You know, there were no blogs. There were no podcasts.
No. It was all underground.
Yeah.
But my point is that the more I know who I am, one, the less I feel the need to tell anybody else who I am, because I know who I am. And two, the more confident I feel. I don't feel confident all the time. Y'all met me. But I know who I am. You can come at me with all kinds of things. Like, a hater could be out there and say all kinds of shit about me, but there's some things they can't say about me. My favorite, I get this very infrequently now. My favorite, though, is when somebody comes to the blog or the podcast or wherever and tells me I'm not a real submissive. I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know who I am. You don't even have to agree with who I am. I don't care. I know who I am. And once you have that inner feeling and understanding, it's almost like armor. Come at me. Tell me I'm not submissive. Fuck you. Because I know who I am. And you can't, I've been fortunate. I've gotten to take the vast majority of this journey with you, with your support. True. I do think it's possible in a different way if you have to do it on your own. So I wanted to close out with this idea of, if you are in that position where you're feeling like you have to repress yourself, the best thing I think you can do, because I'm not going to tell anybody I think they should make some major life changes. What I will tell you is I think you should open yourself up to the possibility of the things you're scared to do to make your life better. Just putting that out there. But instead of the sneaking that you sometimes have to do with relationships, use the available tools that we have to learn about who you are. Now, some things you can't really learn until you're actually practicing the power exchange, because you don't know how you'll react in a situation until you're in it. You don't know.
That's true.
But there is still so much more that you can learn about. Watch, listen, read, however you like to take in content. It's out there. And you can spend time figuring out, that doesn't speak to me. Oh, but that does. Or I'd like to try that, but not that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the same. It's not perfect. If you have access to a local in-person community and you feel safe going there, we obviously recommend that more than anything, because there's nothing that'll make you feel more normal than being in a room of other people who have similar interests that you do.
Yeah.
But if that's not an option, if you can have a private sort of online space and feel comfortable and secure there, then have it and explore in a way that allows you to discover more of yourself. My opinion would be, my bet would be, that as you grow more confident in who you are as dominant, sub, switch, whatever, there will come a point, you'll hit a tipping point where you're like, I have to be who I am.
Right.
And you're going to make whatever that hard decision is that you're not ready to make right now or doesn't feel possible right now. It's sometimes, for many of us, just the urge to be who we really are and not to repress ourselves is strong enough.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. You'll probably go through hell at first. You'll probably be questioning all your life choices for a while. And then you won't. And then it'll smooth out. And it'll become familiar. And you'll find your path. And it'll be twisty and turny. And it'll be chaotic. But it'll be your path. And the wish I have for everybody I know on the planet, but certainly my fellow Kingsters, is for us all to just be comfortable with who we are, to know who we are.
Right.
And to know that who I am doesn't have to be who you are. We don't have to be any way similar for it to both be legitimate. And that if we would repress ourselves, we all know, I think, if you're paying attention to how people talk about sex in a pop culture sort of way, we all know that if we could be less repressive about sex in general, not even add the kink flavor, life would probably be a lot better, okay? We already see what happens with repression on other levels. Let's not do it to ourselves, because being who you are, embracing who you are, finding how you can express who you are can be one of the greatest gifts you ever give to yourself.
There you go.
As somebody who repressed himself, am I wrong? Am I right?
Do you have you hit the nail on the head.
That was like getting a good girl. It makes me happy. So, a couple of things before we go into the bonus section.
Okay.
I do want to do our first official non-topic suggesting shout out from Patreon. We have a level on Patreon where if you are at this level, you get your very own shout out. And this is a brand new kinky patron, Kalina. I hope I'm saying your name right. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm watching our kinky patron number, total amount of patrons and the pledges and everything grow. And I'm in my mind, I'm going, okay, you cannot count your money until it's in your bank account. But it's like, we could pay for 2 transcripts. We could do this.
Right.
We could start we need a video camera fund.
Yes.
There are things we could do. So thank you, Kalina. Thank you to all
thank
of our kinky
so
patrons. Now, I do want to do a quick, during the live, I want to say hi to the people who are here.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. I saw Heather say Kinktopia. I'm here for Kinktopia.
Right.
Just quick, and we'll see if y'all
been
having a conversation.
Wow.
And I'm loving it. So I want to call you Raxalan again. Rax. Hi. And that's funny. Tammy's like, put down the paddle. You're running late. I wish it was the paddle.
Right?
It was me putting on my eyeballs so you could see them. And Heather says hi. And Benjamin, mm-hmm. woo, yay, you're here for live stream. And, Kathleen, I'm glad this topic. Hopefully you found something useful in it.
Right.
And Sam, hi from London.
Hi from London.
In London in a few weeks. Let's see. Anything else? Let's see. Mm-hmm. I want to say hi to people or answer questions if I see them. I feel really weird looking at a computer screen while y'all are all staring at me. There we go. Heather, your issue of being afraid to kind of bring it up to a partner and then finding out, no, you're kind of, and the mutual understanding. I think that's more common than we realize. It's sort of why I asked you.
Mm-hmm.
If you kind of expected the reaction you got, I think most of the time when we're really honest with ourselves, we know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Right.
Doesn't mean you shouldn't have the conversation anyway, because one, you can always be surprised. And two, even if somebody has a bad reaction initially, sometimes they come around once, because they have to get over their own stigmas if they're willing to. Let's see. Oh, goodness. I love all y'all here. Right. I'm going to have to go back and read all of these later.
Yeah.
I love how y'all are like talking to each other and to us, even though I'm ignoring you because I was looking at a camera. So we love you. We love you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm not seeing any questions that stick out. But if I go back later and I see questions, we will try to answer them. Kathleen, the most hated expression, God doesn't give you more than you can handle.
Yes.
And that's another one that I wouldn't say God. I usually say the universe. I would think for myself because it bolsters me. I don't say that shit to other people. You are so right. Let's not say that to other people.
Well, Rachel, there are certain areas of Florida that there is no community, so to speak, but there are certain areas, Tampa Bay area for one.
Orlando,
Miami.
Oh yeah, Jacksonville. Yeah. Jacksonville
pretty thriving, too. That's right.
Which is, and I'm sure Tallahassee does too. That's the Panhandle part of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in the Panhandle part of Florida. That's known as Lower Alabama or the Redneck Riviera. Kingsters were there. I'll say Destin, Pensacola, even Panama City Beach. They were there, but they were all like at private parties, that was never gonna happen. CDC asked if we have an Amazon wish list. We tried to do that, and I just felt really icky about having an Amazon wish list. We did try, and I just felt icky. Buttercup, good morning. Subconscious kink dar. Ooh. I believe that sometimes that's a thing.
Yeah.
You told the story a few weeks ago a person that you were working with in a vanilla sense that you then discovered was kinky.
Yes.
And he would come home and tell me stuff. And I'm like, well, why didn't you like throw up the kinks?
Yeah.
I want to say bat signal, but the kink signal. And yay. Thank you, Rax, for letting me call you Raxel Ann. Cause in my head, you're probably going to be that forever. Okay. So thank you all for watching live.
It's been wonderful. Thank you.
And so now we're going to go into the bonus section, which is, there's not a lot. I don't think there is. I don't have a lot.
Okay.
Do you have a lot?
I have something. I have a few couple things to say.
Oh, well, okay. I do want to point out, this is not a sponsored thing. I'm wearing my Yes Daddy shirt, and I've only said it snarkily like 10 times today.
Yeah.
And he has said... I don't know if you can see it with the camera, because I said
so, baby girl.
It should say baby little girl.
Little girl. Yeah.
I never have been good with the little girl thing, but when you call me little one, I don't know. I feel physically smaller, and I like I get gushy, and I go, and there's some squealing and just whatever.
All right, little one, let's wrap
that
it up.
You did that on purpose.
Yes, I did.
You did that on purpose. Okay, we're gonna do our closing thing,
yes,
and then we'll do a brief bonus section, okay, especially for the podcast listeners.
All right.
Okay. Keep it kinky, y'all. I almost said keep it kinky, little girl, and I went, no, that's wrong. And also quite right. Just say it. Okay. I know you have to like make some notes.
Yes,
and do some tech
I have
things.
To do my notey thing here.
Your notey thing?
My notey thing.
Your notey thing? I don't know if that sounds kinky or just weird. Both.
You take it either way, any way you want it.
Both. Okay, I will say briefly.
Okay.
I've been working because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I made a 5-week sort of a marathon schedule to get from here
to there
to London and all the work I have to do. And I was feeling really good about it. And then I took on another big project because I'm a fucking idiot who mm-hmm. likes money. Quite frankly, that is what it is. I like money. And they were willing to pay me more than they normally pay me. So I was, sure, I'll get that done too.
Oh, it helps keep those big bright lights on.
Yeah, and helps pay for London.
Yes.
And the security deposit on the rental we're going to have for mm-hmm. a year. And the moving expenses. Oh, yeah, I'm not stressed. So I've mostly just been working and planning and plotting. I have to do my tax stuff this weekend.
Yes.
And we're going to go play on Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah. The day we're recording is Valentine's Day. I guess we should probably say Happy Valentine's Day
happy
to
Valentine's
anybody who cares.
Day, everybody.
We did nothing.
No. We you know, the type of relationship Kayla and I have, we talked about this in great detail weeks before Valentine's Day. We, you know, because of the type of relationship we have, we express our love all the time.
I get mad if we go too long. Just saying.
Right. I ever since I met her, that we became that we transitioned from long distance, I always opened doors for her.
Yeah, that's when I remember to let him.
Yeah. And you know, we hold hands when we're
yes.
out.
Yes. And you know what's funny? Sometimes I do it because I'm thinking, I love him so much. I want to be close to him. And sometimes I'm thinking, oh, I'm anxious. There's my anchor. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm like, I'm going to show these people who belongs to who around here. It's funny because I don't care because I know who we are. But there right. are times that the older women who live in our general area just spend way too much time checking him out. And I'm like, no, bitch, he's with me. And I don't know why I still have that little, I think it's because they do kind of look at me like, oh, that's clearly like his niece or his daughter or his, you know, whatever. But I'm woman enough for him. Like, no, you couldn't handle this.
Could not give me what I like.
So maybe I have a jealous streak still. I don't really. I feel compersion all the time.
I know you do.
Except when those crazy ladies out at like the Walmart are checking you out.
Ugh.
I know. Sometimes it's not pleasant. Sometimes it's one of those, I'm sure you're a lovely human being, but you are not the lovely human being for me.
Now at Starbucks, that's a different story.
Well, yeah, because you know they can at least afford a $5 cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Right. Please check me out. I will be your sugar, whatever. Or you be my sugar mama or whatever. How's that work? I don't know.
Coffee mama.
Yeah, they could be your coffee mama and keep you in coffee, and then you have to tell them that you come as part of a duo. They have to keep me in coffee.
All right.
Those ladies can check you out. As can the men, quite frankly. I'll take a coffee daddy any day.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely.
Right? So, yeah. We went
way off track there.
Yeah, we did. But, you know, I just want to say,
are you going to do a thing?
He's no, I don't
thing.
Do things.
Things.
I don't do things.
Yes, you do.
That happy Valentine's, baby girl.
To you too, Daddy.
I love you very, very much.
I love you too.
You have enlightened my life in many ways. And through knowing you and you being a part of my life, you have enriched me, made me a better person.
Don't you make me cry.
And I am grateful that you are a part of my life.
I love you too, Daddy.
And I love you.
I love you too. Aww, I did my sweet thing on Twitter earlier
I know.
Today. Now my words are used up and all you go is, thank you. Y'all wouldn't know I was a writer from ever hearing
yeah, right?
me speak.
No.
I love you too, Daddy. I can't. There are people that we have in our lives individually and together, mm-hmm. and they're important, but I cannot imagine this without you.
No.
And my anxious brain will go there. Anybody who has anxiety knows you will go to like worst possible moment of your life. I've done it with my kids and that always scares me. I've done it with you and I like, nope. The brain goes, no, we're not thinking of that. Because I cannot imagine it. I can't. I can't imagine that a day that one of us would ever go to the other and go, I can't do this DS thing anymore. I can imagine it changing. I can imagine it lessening a bit. I can imagine all kinds of scenarios, but it would all, it's,
would always be a part.
This is who we are.
Right.
Yeah. I love you.
Love you too, baby girl.
Just made everybody either go, oh, or eh.
Right? One
or
the other.
If you made you gag, I'm not sorry. Aww, right. You're so sweet. I love you. Made me blush on camera. I don't think I wear enough makeup to hide that.
See, it doesn't take a paddle to give you red cheeks.
But I'd prefer the paddle to get the red cheeks. I mean, if we're taking a survey, I vote for the paddle.
9 out of 10 prefer the paddle. Okay.
I know we, because it's probably a surprise. I'm not even sure that person like watches the show or listens to the episodes, but you have made a special order paddle for somebody.
Yeah.
Won't go into details in case it's a secret, but I am legitimately jealous of this paddle. It is fucking beautiful.
It is.
Oh my God, I'm like, that belongs to somebody else, though. They're paying good money for it. Yeah, that's, aw, thank you, Daddy. I love you. thank y'all for watching and for listening. And whether you're one of our kinky patrons or not, you know we love you. If you are thinking about the patron thing, we're just saying, patreon.com/KaylaLords. It's just a thing. We are... we have had serious conversations between do we start doing advertising like on our site, livingbdsm.net, or, you know, actively seeking out like places where we can put ads that wouldn't be obnoxious or whatever, or do we go for our Patreon? And I think we've landed in the, I would rather try and build up the Patreon, because then that's people who actually want to hear from us, want to be, and can. I know there are people who want to and just can't.
Right.
Totally get that. And it's a community-driven thing. It's a community support thing versus a let me just throw some ads out there that some people don't want to see or can't see or it's intrusive. And, you know, anything we can do to – I'm not saying we won't ever do ads, but if I'm picking, I'm going to – you're going to hear us talk about Patreon a lot. We're going to become one of those creators. but, yeah, so – we love all of you.
Yeah, we do.
And happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Happy and just happy day.
Happy day. Happy Thursday. Friday, if you're listening. I could do this for the whole week. Happy, like...
Okay, baby girl. All right. Rein it in.
I know. We've got another video to record.
Yes, we do.
I am. So, I guess we should go now.
We should say goodbye.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Love you.